The book of 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. And as if you've been following this series, you know that this is the last of the series on Elijah. It seems like it's out of order, and it is, because we had that snow day where we did not have worship services, so that seventh of eight sermons got pushed ahead to today. So 2 Kings chapter 1, and we'll read that chapter, 2 Kings chapter 1, found on page 517 in the Bibles provided for you. This is God's word to us. After Ahab's death, Moab rebelled against Israel. Now, Ahaziah had fallen through the lattice of his upper room in Samaria and injured himself. So he sent messengers saying to them, "Go and consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, to see if I will recover from this injury." But the angel of the Lord said to Elijah the Tishbite, "Go up and meet the messengers of the king of Samaria and ask them, 'Is it because there is no God in Israel that you are going off to consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron?' Therefore, this is what the Lord says, 'You will not leave the bed you are lying on. You will certainly die.' So Elijah went. And when the messengers returned to the king, he asked them, 'Why have you come back?' 'A man came to meet us,' they replied, 'and he said to us, go back to the king who sent you and tell him, this is what the Lord said, is it because there is no God in Israel that you are sending messengers to consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore, you will not leave the bed you are lying on. You will certainly die.' The king asked them, 'What kind of man was it who came to meet you and told you this?' They replied, 'He had a garment of hair and had a leather belt around his waist.' The king said, 'That was Elijah the Tishbite.' Then he sent to Elijah a captain with his company of 50 men. The captain went up to Elijah, who was sitting on the top of a hill, and said to him, 'Man of God, the king says, come down.' Elijah answered the captain, 'If I am a man of God, may fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men.' And then fire fell from heaven and consumed the captain and his men. At this, the king sent to Elijah another captain with his 50 men. The captain said to him, 'Man of God, this is what the king says, come down at once.' 'If I am a man of God,' Elijah replied, 'may fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men.' Then the fire of God fell from heaven and consumed him and his 50 men. So the king sent a third captain with his 50 men. This third captain went up and fell on his knees before Elijah, 'Man of God,' he begged, 'please have respect for my life and the lives of these 50 men, your servants. See, fire has fallen from heaven and consumed the first two captains and all their men, but now have respect for my life.' The angel of the Lord said to Elijah, 'Go down with him, do not be afraid of him.' So Elijah got up and went down with him to the king. He told the king, 'This is what the Lord says, is it because there is no God in Israel for you to consult that you have sent messengers to consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Because you have done this, you will never leave the bed you are lying on. You will certainly die.' So he died, according to the word of the Lord that Elijah had spoken. Because Ahaziah had no son, Joram succeeded him as king in the second year of Jehoram, son of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. As for all the other events of Ahaziah's reign and what he did, are they not written in the book of the annals of the king of Israel?" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I invite you to keep your Bibles open as we go through the story. Beloved in Christ, it's one of those confrontation stories again with Elijah. And every time Elijah's God, the Lord God wins handily. Here again, there's no doubt the victor is the Lord God. But who is Ahaziah anyway? Let me read the closing verses of 1 Kings for you. of 1 Kings now. Okay, the book before this one. Ahaziah, son of Ahab, became king of Israel in Samaria in the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, and he reigned over Israel 2 years. Listen carefully now. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord because he followed the ways of his father, King Ahab, and mother. Who was that again? Ahab's wife. Anybody remember? Jezebel, and he followed the ways of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who caused Israel to sin. Ahaziah served and worshipped Baal and aroused the anger of the Lord, the God of Israel, just as his father Ahab had done. Quite the bio for this guy, huh? Ahaziah is the son of Ahab and Jezebel. Not a very good start. He only reigned 2 years. It wasn't a long, blessed by the Lord God reign because he was probably a wicked king. Oh, he was. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord. He committed the sins of his father and mother. He committed the sins of that very first king of the northern kingdom who got the ball of sin rolling, Jeroboam. He served and worshipped Baal. He aroused the anger of the Lord just like his father Ahab did, destined for disgrace. Ahaziah chalked up a resume of unrighteousness that led to his dishonorable demise. Ahaziah, a wicked king of Israel. Now, here's the story of this confrontation between Ahaziah and Elijah. Ahaziah suffers a fall in his house. He injures himself. And what does he want to know? Well, he wants to know if he's going to get better, of course. So King Ahaziah, with messengers at his beck and call, sends some to go to Ekron. That's a Philistine village. Go to Ekron, he says. Consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, to see if I will recover from this injury. You see what Ahaziah is doing, friends? He's sending messengers to an oracle, a pagan oracle, not a prophet of the Lord, a pagan Philistine oracle, someone who allegedly has intimate contact with the god of the Philistine village of Ekron, who is called Baal-zebub. He's sending his messengers there to consult with the oracle who can supposedly find out from the local god, Baal-zebub, if Ahaziah is going to get better or not. Ahaziah wants to find out from Baal-zebub, the Lord of the Flies is what that name means, a name horribly that becomes another name for the devil, Satan, in the New Testament. In fact, the Pharisees accuse Jesus of being Baal-zebub, of being Satan, but that's another story. That's what Ahaziah is up to here. Find out from Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, the lord of the flies, the devil, if I'm going to be all right. So the messengers, by the way, another name for angels, Ahaziah's messengers, his angels, take off for Ekron to find out this info. But this is a confrontation story. There is another messenger in this story to balance off Ahaziah's messengers, the messenger of the Lord. Not the Lord of the flies, but the Lord God. The messenger of the Lord, the angel of the Lord, has now entered the story. The angel of the Lord speaks to Elijah, and now we have the counterpoint to Ahaziah as well, Elijah. So think about the battle lines being drawn. Line it up in your head. We have Ahaziah, we have Elijah. We have Ahaziah's angels, we have the angel of the Lord. We have Ahaziah seeking a word from Baal-zebub, the Lord of the flies, and we have the word from the Lord given to Elijah. Everything is lined up. The battle lines of confrontation are drawn. Elijah begins the confrontation. Picture it, Elijah walking across the battlefield, ready to speak the word of the Lord to these false messengers, these false angels. And here's what he says. Is it because there's no God in Israel that you're going off to consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? A rhetorical question. There is a God in Israel. He is the Lord God. Ahaziah simply does not recognize him as such. the Lord's message continues. This is what the Lord says. Ahaziah, you will not leave the bed you are lying on. You will certainly die. That's the word from the Lord. That's the message Ahaziah is going to hear more times than he wants to hear it. This all happens between verses 4 and 5. If you have your Bibles open, you can see that. Elijah meets up with the messengers, tells them the word of the Lord, and the messengers make their way back to Ahaziah to give him the Lord's message. That all happens there between 4 and 5. Now, Ahaziah is a little befuddled. It's obvious his messengers aren't gone long enough to get to Ekron and back. And they're back. What's going on? He asks. And they tell him, well, a funny thing happened on the way to Ekron, Your Majesty. We were ambushed by a guy wearing a furry outfit and a leather belt. And here's what he said. This is what the Lord says. Ahaziah, is it because there is no God in Israel that you're sending men to consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Therefore, you will not leave the bed you are lying on. You will certainly die. Ahaziah knows immediately who they met. His dad was Ahab, after all. He probably saw Elijah and his dad jawing away at more than one occasion. Ahaziah knows, and Ahaziah is disturbed, to say the least. Now remember, people in Bible times took the word of curses, which is what Ahaziah now had hanging over his head. The Lord God had pronounced a curse on him. They took the words of curses very seriously. Well, they should. Ahaziah was probably all too familiar with seeing whatever Elijah said in the name of the Lord come true against his father Ahab and mother Jezebel. Elijah is not someone Ahaziah wants to take lightly. Elijah is a heavy-hitting prophet. Ahaziah knew it. Ahaziah was concerned. Ahaziah was scared. But something else needs to be said here. As seriously as the king took this curse, there's also the belief at the time, a pagan belief, that if somehow Ahaziah could take care of Elijah, could eliminate him, could kill him, or at least get him to take back the curse hanging over his eyes' head, that curse wouldn't happen. Silence Elijah, save Ahaziah. So Ahaziah devises a plan. Go get Elijah, and we'll take care of him, won't we? So Ahaziah now sends his captain with 50 fighting men to capture Elijah. Remember, Ahaziah is stuck up in bed and can't come down. So once more, we see the beautiful balance in the story, for Elijah, too, is stuck up on a hill, and he won't come down, at least not yet. We've got the makings here of a terrifying confrontation between Elijah and his God and Ahaziah and his God. Everything is balanced out, isn't it? The lines are drawn, sides are chosen. The questions are, listen carefully, whose word is alive? Whose God is king? Whose judgment is real? Ahaziah's or Elijah's? We're about to find out. Ahaziah's captain and his men find Elijah at the top of the hill, and they shout up to him, "Man of God, the king says, come down." Now, that's no way to treat a prophet. Prophets in Israel stand above even the king. Prophets speak the word of the Lord. Yelling to a prophet, come down, by order of the king, is yelling up a recipe for disaster. Elijah responds, if I am a man of God, using the title the captain used, may fire come down from heaven and consume you and your 50 men. Boom! No sooner are the words out of his mouth, the 50 men are burned up. Round one to the Lord God. Round one should have sparked at least a distant memory in the mind of Ahaziah. Something about an altar on Mount Carmel with water poured all over it, fire from heaven consuming the sacrifice and the altar, and the killing of the prophets of Baal at Kishon's Brook. But Ahaziah's memory is short and selective. His faculties are focused on only fear and vengeance. His answer is to send another troop. Same thing happens This time, an even more abrupt, disrespectful tone by the captain. Come down at once! Literally, come down, hurry up, be quick about it. Elijah responds the same as before, and boom, incinerated. Round two to the Lord God. A third time, the king sends his men. This time, he happens to send a captain who knows better. This captain, in my opinion, belongs in the Heroes of Faith passage in Hebrews 11. By faith, Ahaziah's third captain went out to meet Elijah, dropped to his knees before the mountain of the Lord, and begged Elijah to spare his life. That's the proper way to stand before a prophet of the Lord. You stand on your knees. That's the proper respect shown to the Lord God. Ahaziah knows nothing of it, but his third captain does, and he lives to tell about it. And now in the story, an angel, a messenger, comes to Elijah. It's time for Elijah to move, according to the angel. Go to the king, and for the third time in the story, perhaps to match the three attempts by Ahaziah to go and collect Elijah from the mountain, to balance that triple try by Ahaziah, for the third time in the story, the Lord's words are repeated. Elijah tells the king now, this is what the Lord says. Is it because there is no God in Israel for you to consult that you have sent messengers to consult Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron? Because you have done this, you will never leave the bed you are lying on. You will certainly die. Elijah, remember, was stuck up on a hill and then came down. Ahaziah was stuck up in bed, wanted to come down, but never did. Verse 17 says, so he died. That's it. No brilliant fire from heaven this time. Nothing so blazing and consuming as the fire of God falling from heaven. But nevertheless, a swift, sudden, sure judgment according to the word of the Lord that Elijah had spoken. Ahaziah was an evil king, and Ahaziah caused the curses of the covenant to fall down upon himself, his judgment over in an instant, so he died. That's it. End of story. Three things now. You've already heard them asked as questions in the middle of the sermon. Whose word is alive? Whose God is king? And whose judgment is real? Elijah's word, Elijah's God, Elijah's judgment. Which is really saying the Lord God. The Lord God's word is alive, the Lord God is king, and the Lord God's judgment is real. Those are three truths we need to leave with today. God's word is alive, number one. It is as alive today as it was coming from the mouth of Elijah. God's word is as alive. The words in this book are alive. You've heard it said, this is the living word. It is alive. It is filled with power from on high, the power to point us to the one, Jesus, who saves us from our sins at the cross. It is alive. The power to point us to the one, Jesus, who gives us eternal life. It is alive. The power to heal broken hearts with the comfort of Jesus. It is alive. The power to guide all of our living according to King Jesus. It is alive. The power to convict us of our sin by Jesus, who paid for those sins. It is alive. The power to inspire our praise for Jesus. It is alive. It is the living Word of God. Did you know that? Did you know that the Bibles on your coffee tables are alive? We need to open up our lives to this living word of God. The same thing is true of sermons preached from this pulpit, of scripture lessons and truths taught our little ones and older kids in the rooms under us. That says something to us, doesn't it? The third captain speaks to us, humbling himself before the word of God, before Elijah. Those who bring the word, teachers, elders, deacons, pastors, leaders, counselors, all of us who bring the word, bring a message that is alive, a message to be honored, and so also the people who bring it. We can all think back to our Sunday school, church school, catechism days and remember some of the times we brought dishonor to the word and dishonored those who proclaimed the word too. Well, 2 Kings chapter 1 teaches us there's no place for that in the community of God's people. There's utmost respect for the word of God and for those who faithfully proclaim it, from pulpits, desks, bedsides, coffee tables, from anywhere. The word of God, it is alive, and the word of God and those who faithfully proclaim it are to be honored. Second truth today. First, the word is alive. Second, God is king. This story is set up for us to see that so clearly. Another confrontation, this time between Ahaziah and Elijah, between the words of Ahaziah and the word of the Lord, between Beelzebub and the Lord God. And look who comes out victorious. It is the Lord God. Ahaziah has the audacity to serve and worship Baal, to seek out answers and help from the Lord of the flies. God says, you shall have no other gods before me. They're all a bunch of nothings anyway. Beelzebub, what kind of God is he? Can he bring fire from heaven? The Lord God is king. Not Ahaziah, not Beelzebub. And yet we forget that so often ourselves, that our king is the Lord God. We consult the modern day oracles of Ekron all the time. We'll go to the Lord God in crisis as a last resort, but we're sure going to try to do it ourselves first. Or we think our money can make everything all right, or we think our power will keep us from sin. And on we go, living in our own ekronic strength, putting ourselves on the throne when only the Lord God is king. The Lord God is king. Third truth, it's a hard one. Judgment is real. This story sure speaks that truth, doesn't it? Judgment is real. From the first two proud captains and their men, it was swift and sudden and sure, fire from heaven. For Ahaziah, judgment was immediate and irrevocable. An evil king destroyed. Judgment is real, and it is coming someday, maybe today. Maybe today, like a thief in the night. Revelation 20, verse 15, anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. Beloved, that can happen today. Beautiful day, that can happen today. Judgment is real, and it is coming. We forget that. We live our lives without reverent fear of the Most High King. He is our friend. He's our Savior. He's our companion, of course. But we must remember, too, for it is the Word of God. And the Word of God uses it to warn us. We must remember that the Most High God is also our judge. A reverent fear is certainly the appropriate posture to meet Him. Judgment Day is real, with a real judge. And he is coming. I don't know about you, but I have trouble with all three of those truths. That is, I have trouble living them out. Opening my life up to the living Word of God and living my life in that Word. Putting God first as King over every single area of my life all the time. And living in the reverent fear that God is coming to judge the living and the dead. I have trouble living those truths out. I suppose we all do. And as many of you know, there is only one person who can help us. He is Jesus Christ. For through Christ, we live according to that living Word of God. Through Christ, we are in the Word that is alive. And through Christ, we have and know the way to our King, the Lord God. Jesus is the way to our King. And through Christ, we have our escape from a judgment that is our eternal separation from God. For Jesus is our judge. And Jesus is also the one who in our place condemned he stood. Do we still have a reverent fear of the judgment through him? Oh, yes. But it is tempered with a deep-rooted assurance and knowledge that we will overcome by the blood of the Christ. That's what we have in Jesus Christ. The Word is alive. The Lord God is King. The judgment is real. And many of us know a fourth truth. Jesus Christ is still available. He still stands ready to save us. Many of us know that and love him for it and have asked him to save us, but some of us maybe have not. Today's a good day for that to happen. Christ is available. That is a truth in the Word of God. Christ needs only to be asked by you to come into your heart and save you. Do you want that today? To become a follower of Christ so that you will escape the condemning fire of hell. So that you will live according to God's word. And so that you will have someone other than your feeble self sitting on the throne in your life. Do you want that? That can be a reality for you today too. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Lord Jesus, you are available to save someone, perhaps several today. We know that. We wanted that for ourselves, and you made it a reality for us. And we know that there are those who don't have that yet. Work in their hearts right now. Move them by your Holy Spirit and Word right now to pray the prayer we're about to pray together. And friend, if you feel your Lord and Savior moving you to pray, then pray the words of this prayer after you hear each line out loud. And we'll do that all together. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm living for myself and not for you. I know that I'm living for myself and not for you. I confess that I haven't cared about your word. I confess that I haven't cared about your word. I confess that your judgment has never scared me. I confess that your judgment has never scared me. But today's a new day for me, a day of salvation. But today's a new day for me, a day of salvation. Please come into my life. Please come into my life. Live in my heart, live in my heart. Take my sins away, take my sins away. Give me a new life for all eternity. Give me a new life for all eternity. And let me from now on live for you. And let me from now on live for you. Thank you, Lord and Savior Jesus. Thank you, Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. Amen.